Lake Creek Baptist Church for this opportunity. And again, we appreciate being here. It's been a wonderful time for us so far. We have some wonderful hosts that have taken care of us wonderfully. And we just appreciate being here. Appreciate y'all's time last night. I know I went over just a little bit last night. I'm going to try to stay in time, but if the Lord gets this thing to rolling, it may roll a little over. So we'll see what happens. But if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and flip over to Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, last night we talked about our ultimate purpose, which is relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, that we receive by faith, coming to Him in surrender. Now, I know people struggle with salvation, and I sense that there's some here that are. I don't know how to make it simpler than I did last night. And I know some people struggle with it. But listen, it's just believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender. You know, I know I didn't understand everything when I got saved. I lived in probably 6 years of compromise or more, you know, until I, you know, because when I was stayed, as long as I stayed in the Amish church, I really didn't grow. Yes, I learned some things, but it took me a long time, those kind of things. And after I got out and I got into some discipleship programs, got in a good church, I began growing by leaps and bounds. And I began to understand things about my salvation that I didn't understand before. But I just praise God for that time back in 2004 that He knocked on my heart and said, "I need you," and began to open the scriptures to me. And I simply believed and surrendered to Him. So our first and ultimate purpose in life is relationship with Him. Now tonight I want to talk a little bit about our second purpose, which is multiplication. Okay? You know, as a young Amish kid, when I thought about what is our purpose in life, I always thought of a fish, you know. Most of you probably fished at one time or another. You get a fish out of water, throw it up on the bank, what'll it do? It'll flop around and go crazy. What's it trying to do? It's trying to get back in the water. All it knows to do is flop around aimlessly, okay? And that's always kind of the mental picture I got of the Christian life. We're trying to get to heaven, but we don't really know which way the water is, so we flop around and we try. It's a futile attempt. It doesn't work. And so I'm so thankful for Jesus and the sacrifice that He made and made it so simple, John 3:16, that we can simply come to Him by faith. But then we have that responsibility. We're given that responsibility to share this truth and this hope with others. We live in a hopeless time today, a hopeless culture. Our country supposedly has been founded on Christian principles. It has been. Let me say that clearly. It has been. But we have wandered far away from it. There's so many things in our current culture that it's, to some of us, it looks hopeless from time to time. What difference can I make? Okay? And I think some people just fill a pew Sunday mornings because of that hopelessness. What difference can I make? And so tonight, I hope I can give you a little bit of a glimpse that you can make a difference. Maybe you'll never be the president of a country or have a high position where you can of influence, where you can make changes and those kind of things. But that's not always what it's about. There's people in the past that have made huge impacts, worldwide impacts, who were very simple men, but with the best message ever. And that's the Word of God. So in a culture of hopelessness, there is hope today. Okay? So Ezekiel chapter 37, we have the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament. And you know the story. The Jewish people were God's chosen people. They were given the laws and those kind of things. It was before people got saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how to make it simpler than that. So not everybody had the Spirit of God. They were followers, but when they sinned, they had to sacrifice for a temporary covering of their sins until the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus Christ. So until then, people, common people, did not necessarily have the Holy Spirit, but God would send prophets who would instill the Holy Spirit in them, and they would speak for a lot of times it was direction. Sometimes it was when they went wrong, it was for correction and those kind of things. So here we have the prophet Ezekiel, and it says in verse 1, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." Now, in the culture that we live in today, I notice that there are people that have a fascination to bones. Personally, I don't understand it. They wear a t-shirt with skull bones and those kind of things. Bones represent death, okay? Here we have God who takes this man, who is a prophet, and he takes them out into the valley, which it says was full of bones. Now, in those times, now whether this was a vision or if this was actual reality, I don't know. It appears like it might have been actual reality. But maybe it was just a vision. But nevertheless, in that time, when nations came together for battle, a lot of times it happened on two mountainsides, and they came down in the valley, and the battle happened in the valley. Now, when the battle happened, people died all over the place. And if you read the stories, they fell by the thousands a lot of times. And so I'm assuming from this story that the people didn't always get buried. They lay where they fell, and their bodies rotted away, and the bones were left to dry in the sun. And so God takes the prophet Ezekiel out to look at these bones. This sounds kind of strange when you first begin to read the story. To look at these bones. Why would God take somebody to look at death? God was fixing to show his power. And that's what we need to understand today, that God has got the same power today that he's ever had. He is willing to work with simple people, common people, just the same as he always has. And you can have that power within you. Verse 2, he said, "And he caused me to pass by them round about." God led him through the valley of bones to look at all them, to look at all this hopelessness, right? This death and hopelessness. There is absolutely no hope here. "And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, not only were they dead, they were very dry." Hope was long gone. They were bleached in the sun. Okay, hope was long gone. This was the valley of death. And then God asked him a question, and says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" Here's where we struggle in the current culture that we're in. We look at the hopelessness and the mess around us, and we say, is there any hope? Now, here we have the prophet, the man of God, and God takes him out here, and then God asks him this question. And as you see here, this question became uncomfortable to the man of God. It says, "And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." He was uncomfortable with the question because in his mind, all he saw was death. But here's the problem, or not the problem, here's the dynamic. Who was asking the question? God himself. God who created life asked the question. And so in the prophet Ezekiel's physical mind, as he looked at this, all he could see was death and hopelessness. But then God asks the question, can these bones live? And the prophet Ezekiel evaded the question. He said, God, you know. Now challenge ourselves. When we look at situations, maybe it's our personal situations. Maybe it's we're struggling with our salvation. Can I really be saved? Does God really love me that much? You know, can we? It's a hard question. But we have to remember who is asking the question. It's God. God asks the question. O Lord God, thou knowest. Okay? Verse 3. And see, many times, in many areas of life, that's where we're at. We look at the situation, and it's out of our control. But here's the thing about God. Here's the thing that I've learned about him that is wonderful, and you need to really grab a hold of this. God specializes in the impossible.
Yes, sir.
Exactly right.
If your situation looks impossible, maybe you've struggled with your salvation for many years, and it looks impossible. God specializes in that, okay? So it's not a big deal. Surrender, okay? Maybe you've been looking at a mission field. Maybe God has given you a vision for a mission, and it's very needed, but it looks huge, overwhelming. And you're not sure that you can do this. Well, quite frankly, you can't. But remember who sent you. Who asked you, will you go? Because the one who's asking has the power to make things happen. Let's look at the story. Verse 4. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Okay? Instruction. Now here's where many times we go wrong. We hear God giving us instruction. We hear the question. We hear these things, but we fail to move on it. Because God gives us instruction. Number one, right here. It's all laid out right here. God gives us instruction. And here, God asked the question. The prophet wasn't sure. He actually evaded the question. God gives him simple instruction. Talk to these bones. Give them not just anything, but give them the word of the Lord. You know, there's something amazing about this Bible.
Sure is. Yes, sir.
You might look at it and say, well, it's leather, it's paper, it's ink, you know. It's just a book, right?
No, sir.
It's more than just a book.
Yes, sir.
This
yes,
has got life in it.
Amen.
It's like a seed. It has life in it. And when God told the prophet Ezekiel, he said, let's read it again. Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Right here. Okay? The word of the Lord has power. You're fixing to see that. It's fixing to change things around Ezekiel. It's fixing to move things. Okay? This is the word that is to speak. Thus says the Lord God. Total game changer. Thus, that's not just the prophet Ezekiel speaking anymore. These are the words of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones. Remember, they're very dry. They're dead. They're gone. Okay? There's no hope. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, let's stop right here. Put yourself in Ezekiel's shoes. What are you going to do here? Ezekiel just found himself in a very, very uncomfortable position. First of all, God takes him out to look at some bones. Second of all, God tells him to speak to these bones. What an uncomfortable situation. What a fool I'm fixing to be if I speak to these dead bones. Who talks to bones? Okay? Remember who's given instruction. Remember who's asking the question. You know, here's where most people fail in ministry. The Lord speaks, gives instruction, shows them the way, but then they lack the faith to be obedient. People struggle with salvation because they see what God has said, they hear what God has said, but then they stop short. See, faith is so hard and yet so simple and yet so easy. It's just, you know, even after I got saved, there was times that God just showed me faith all over again. You know, it takes a small measure of faith to just trust God for salvation. And then it takes another measure of faith to begin walking in that salvation. Another measure of faith to step out and obey God and move forward. And God supplies that faith. He gives it to us. We just have to step into it. He just asks for that first little step into that. And that's difficult because you're stepping into the unknown. You're stepping into something you've never stepped into before. You're moving forward in something that if this fails, I'm going to look like an idiot.
Come on.
If this fails, I'm going to look like an idiot. So I'm not sure. I'm withholding. I don't listen. That's where the prophet Ezekiel is at this moment. He's at the moment of belief and faith. Will I step out or will I not? Will I talk to these dead, dry bones? They're dead and they're gone. Will I do it or will I not? Let's see what he does. Now, God's already told him what's going to happen if he does. And from the Bible, God has told us the blessings that will come into our life if we obey. God's already told him that. Will he obey? Verse 7. So I prophesied. A simple faith. The prophet Ezekiel stepped out in a simple faith. He began to speak to these bones and he said, as I was commanded, obedience. Obedience is key here. You know, God so desires relationship with us. He so desires for us to spend eternity in heaven with him that he has done everything needed for us to just simply step into it. It's that simple. Now, religion is where the confusion comes in, because religion requires performance to achieve, to receive. But God did everything. And so as the prophet begins to speak, as I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Okay? God didn't wait 30 minutes. He didn't wait an hour. He didn't wait a day, a week. The moment that the prophet Ezekiel stepped out in faith, in obedience to the word of God, in trusting that God's word is true, there was a noise. God began to move. As I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, not only a noise, but a shaking. Okay? When we step into the will of God and move, there's going to be a noise and there's going to be a shaking. Some of it's for the good, some of it's against us. I'm telling you, 6 months ago, whatever it was, when Joe started talking about this conference, about this revival, you know, he was a little hesitant because he's got a lot going on, those kind of things. I said, Joe, I believe that if somebody asks us to preach, the day of the culture we're in, we need to preach. It's just that important. It's not about the money. It's not about whether it's going to fit in our schedule. We just need to preach. That's God's call. And so that's been the attitude I try to have about these kind of things. And so Joe ended up calling on me to come and do this and all those kind of things.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, in the last month, week, things began to shake and happen. Things that really challenged my faith. Last Sunday night, I never have back aches. I reached into the van to pick up the car seat with my baby in it to lift it out of the van. Something I've done many times. It wasn't a weird reach or anything. I just reached in there, picked it up, lifted it out, and immediately I had to hand it off and just stand there and catch my breath because a pain, muscle spasm flew in my back. Never had it. And the rest of that night, I had to sit and relax and just take it easy. And it didn't go away for a day, but it made me, what's going on? My wife had backache Sunday night. The kids seemed like they were getting sick, and I was like, oh Lord, what are we going to do? Yes. And again, I had to step back and just, God, I'm trusting you. There's got to be a reason for all this. I know you're doing something. And so, you know, I remember back when I was Amish and I heard about missionaries. I thought that would be such a cool life. You just get to go places and you get to tell people about the Bible. And it'd just be such a wonderful life. Well, when we got saved and, you know, we left the Amish, all that was difficult. One Friday morning, this is how I got called to the ministry. One Friday morning, there were some things that had happened that week. Some people from my home community had come and visited, and they were so strict on the shunning. It was such a darkness around their visit. And then there was another family that came from Missouri that had left the Amish like 20 years prior to that. And I remember as a young child hearing about it and how terrible it was that these people had left. Well, Joe Schrock was his name. He was one of the first people that when he heard about us having been saved and struggling with what's going on, they came and saw us. They came and spent the weekend with us and visited us. These two different polar opposite ends came and visited us that week. And there was such a contrast, the darkness and then the light. We just had such a wonderful weekend of fellowship with Joe Schrox. And the next Friday, as you know, sometimes you have that time before you really wake, and it's just the Spirit of God was upon me is the best way I know how to say it. And there was a burden on my heart for the Amish people. As I thought about this darkness that I had just witnessed and what we're coming out of, there was just a burden on me. Lord, send somebody. Send a strong man to the Amish people. That's what I was hearing. I was hearing from God that He wants to send somebody. I go to a Bible study that morning, and this is heavy on my heart. It's just, I don't even know how to explain it. I come to the Bible study. We have prayer request time, and I mention it as a prayer request. I just said, pray, because God has been showing me that He wants to send a strong man to the Amish people with the gospel. And the guy that was leading the Bible study, he was sitting there next to me, and he just looks over at me, and he says, well, there you are. And I was like, no. God was talking about a strong man. Somebody that has courage and can go out and confront people and talk to people, give the gospel. And you know, I had spent so much time looking at missionaries and thinking that was such a cool life, and then all of a sudden it hit me and I backed off. I was like, God, I can't do this. I don't know how. I'm green. No. I ran from it for a couple months. I was just like, no. I don't think He meant me. He meant somebody, but not me. Finally, in wrestling with this, God showed me something. He said, if you wait until you're ready, it's never going to happen. If you wait until you to get saved, until everything is in order, and the moment is just right, it's never going to happen. Just come. The invitation is open. At that moment, I realized that God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called.
Amen.
Well, it took me some time. But He doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. I didn't know what to do with this. All I knew was go back to this Bible study director and talk to him. So I called him up and I said, I need to talk. I met with him in town and I said, I'm here to turn myself in. I don't know what this means, but I just know God has called me to the ministry. I don't even know. I mean, and I expected that moment that he would tell me what to do. And basically he said, come and see. This is what we're doing. He told me about different things. The rest is history. And, you know, it was a difficult time in my life because it was stepping out in faith, stepping out in the unknown. And like I said, I wrestled with it. I compromised for a time because I couldn't see it. I had heard the call. I had seen what God was saying, but I hesitated. I wasn't sure. I struggled. But then there was that moment of realization. If you wait until you're ready, it's not going to happen. Just move when God calls. Just act in obedience, and God will do the rest. I talked to my, turned out to be the director of HR Ministries, the ministry that I'm working with now. Like I said, the rest is history. God has taught me so much. 10 years ago, I wouldn't have dreamed that I could stand behind a pulpit and preach. I'm not an outgoing kind of person like my wife is. I tend to hang at the back of the crowd. When I was still Amish, when we went to church services, to church, we would have a fellowship meal afterwards. My wife, she had all kinds of friends. They would talk from the time they got there till they left. Many times I would go home and I realize I haven't had a single conversation with anybody. Maybe a few words here and there. But this is what God can do. I'm just saying this is a testimony of what God can do. You know, this is not me. I mean, yes, this is me. Get me right. But this is what God has done in me. Okay? This is what God has done in me.
Exactly right.
And I'm nobody special. I promise you, I'm nobody special. Grew up a little old order Amish boy on a farm running barefoot with the chickens, okay? This is what God can do, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm still nobody special. I try to be obedient. And I struggle with that. I still do. I'm not saying these things because I've achieved. I'm still running the race. Just like Ezekiel. And behold, a shaking. If you want to hear the noise and if you want to see the shaking, you have to move on the instruction. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. There was a moving. God began to work. And God does that in our life. God takes us a step at a time. And I'm thankful that he does. It took us 6 years to leave the Amish. And I look back, and God had to pull me from the community where I was at. I look back and I think, those were some difficult times, leaving the community where I was, moving to another community. The rejection that we began to feel, it was very strong. In fact, so strong that we had sold our property, bought property in Kentucky, had the trailer parked in our yard to load Monday morning and move. My sister comes over Sunday night and she asks a simple question. Shook my world. She said, what if you move to the new order and then your kids take another step and another step and they end up out in the world? Well, in my Amish religious mind, it shook my world. I was like, whoa, maybe I am making a mistake. And I struggled. I couldn't sleep that night. About midnight, I get up and I walk about a half a mile up to the road to my Amish, one of the preachers, and I got him out of bed and I said, tell me, are we really making a mistake? Is this really a mistake? And he was very nice about it. He said, well, I can't see it for myself. That has to be your decision. We talked a while. I turn around, I head back home. And before I had left, my wife had told me, whatever you decide, I'm with you. Amen. As I walked back, I decided we're staying. And I'm telling you, that burden rolled off my back. I went home and I slept, told my wife, we cried, we laughed. First thing I did the next morning, I walked across through the woods to my sister's house. And I told her, I said, we're staying. And in the Amish culture, if you're familiar with it all, we don't hug. But that day we hugged and we cried. It was a very emotional moment. That burden had just rolled off. But I'm telling you, within the week, the burden was back because I realized nothing had changed. I had just went back in my old mud hole where things were right and things were comfortable and nothing had changed. And the struggle was back. I understand struggling. Stepping out in faith and obedience to the Lord can be difficult. But if you do it, the rewards are eternal. A week later, the next Saturday, the trailer was back in our yard and we made the move. I see now, we went through some difficult times, but if God hadn't taken us step by step, and one of the biggest steps was to get us out of that mud hole where we were comfortable and we continued to live in compromise, I'd never got to where I'm today. We got to Kentucky and we thought we were in the promised land. New order, more spiritual, more Bible talk. A year and a half later, we realize it's the same system on a different level. They still did not, they talked more Bible. They talked more salvation. But still, the preacher got up one Sunday morning. He said, this Damascus Road experience that people talk about, it doesn't work. You have to grow into it. In other words, you can't just be saved. You have to work it out. And at that moment, I knew we had a choice to make. It's either continue to live in compromise in order to stay with our people and the people we're familiar with, the traditions that we're familiar with, or trust God and move forward. Again, struggle. I thought I was done struggling when we moved from Missouri to Kentucky. A year and a half later, we're back struggling for 6 months. In this time, the church kind of kicked us out, rejected us because they realized that we're some of these crazy people, Bible nerds, and troublemakers. We had to make a decision. And it was hard. It was difficult. But I'm glad that we made the decision that we made. After 6 months, we decided we're moving forward. We don't know where. We don't understand. But we're moving forward. And I'm telling you, God is faithful to his promise. He said in the book of Matthew, he said, Jesus said, if we're not willing to give up everything, we're not worthy of his, including houses, family, land, whatever it is, whatever that thing is in your mind. If you're not willing to give it up, you're not worthy of his. Today, I'm glad that we didn't compromise because I get to come to Black Creek Baptist Church and find family, of all things. Now, nothing can ever replace your blood family. It's still difficult being rejected from your family, excommunicated, and those kind of things. But I'm thankful that I have an eternal family. And I go from place to place and I find family. I go to the prison, the jails, and I find family. Because it's a family of faith. But it took some struggle, and it took some faith, and it took some stepping out. It took some hard believing in the same place that the prophet Ezekiel was here. But when you step into that faith, there's a moving and a shaking and a noise, and things begin to happen. And you'll stand there and be amazed at what God can do. Because see, religion messes it all up. Religion is all about what you can do. But when you step into that relationship and begin to walk with God, it becomes about what God can do. And that's amazing because he specializes in the impossible. So the bones came together, but there was no breath. The Bible says through the foolishness of preaching, God saves people. He told him to speak again. Okay? I'm assuming the prophet Ezekiel was a little bit encouraged by what just happened. He only spoke the word of God and things happened. Now God is asking him to speak again. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Bible references the Holy Spirit as wind a lot of times. Without the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit comes through salvation. A lot of people make it two separate things. It's really not. Amen. When we become saved, we receive the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Now, we have to walk into it. We have to listen and we have to follow. The Holy Spirit gives instruction. Without it, we can look like human beings. We can look like Christians in the church. But without the Holy Spirit within, we're dead bones walking.
Yes, sir.
We have got to have the Holy Spirit. And it comes, again, through faith. There's so many levels of faith. But it's all the same. It's stepping into what God has already said is true. You don't have to work it out. You know, I remember several people back when I was growing up that tried to convert to the Amish people. It happens, not very frequently, but some, mostly because they're so fed up with the world, and they look at the Amish and it looks so idyllic, and they think, well, if I could just go join the Amish, I'd just be a little closer to God. But I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I might be getting it mixed up. For it is the power of God unto salvation. For it, the spoken word, is the power of God unto salvation. Okay? In the Amish culture, it wasn't quite that simple. When somebody came and they wanted to join, convert to Amish, it took a couple years, okay? It took a lot of teaching and training. You know, you had to look like an Amishman. You had to smell like an Amishman. You had to talk like an Amishman. You had to be able to read the German Bible. And then you had to be about on a year's proving before we could take you up as a member. The Amish gospel is difficult and troublesome. And here's the deal. Several people have done it. There's several people that have converted to it, still Amish. Some have taken their families and converted to Amish, and their children married Amish people. And then they realize this is not what I was looking for after all, and they leave, and then they get excommunicated. and maybe leave parts. It's troublesome. The Amish gospel doesn't work, okay? But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ does, because it is the spoke. How did God create the universe? He spoke it. He spoke it. The word of God has power. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. Because it wasn't religion. As Paul went from city to city as a missionary, spreading the word of God, he was simply giving them a message. See, that's why I say, I can't save you tonight. The preacher can't save you. The Pope can't save you. A prayer won't save you. It's that transaction that happens between you and God when you simply come to Him in faith, believing, responding to His Word. And His Word is already spoken. All you got to do is step into it. So I prophesied as He commanded me. It says, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. We just went from dead, dry bones, very dry, death, hopelessness, to a very exceeding army. See this progression? Now, I don't know what it is that you're dealing with, whether it's salvation, whether it's ministry, whether it's reaching out to your friends, neighbors, Amish people, what it is, I don't know. All I know is that there's a power that you need to tap into in order to be successful. And if you do, you can go from dead, dry, rotten bones, hopelessness, death, to a very great and exceeding great army. And it's not about you. At the end of the day, it's still not about you. It's about what God Himself has done, the Creator of the universe, created you. If we could have some piano music, we're going to do a quick invitation. Again, it's past 8 o'clock. If you need to leave, go ahead and leave. But I'm here for the night.
Amen.
Listen, this is not a response to me. It's not a response to Black Creek Baptist Church.
Yes, sir.
It's a response to the Holy God. That
Amen.
The power is already there. It's up to you.